The Language of Impunity, A Week of Global Reckoning. The third week of March 2026 marked a pivotal moment in the evolution of the global sexual abuse crisis, revealing a profound disconnect between the actions of the Holy See and how those actions are reported across different linguistic landscapes. From the halls of the Vatican to the labor fields of California, the week's events underscored a systemic effort to defang the narratives about the reality of abuse through selective ambiguity and the reinforcement of an iron curtain of language. The week began with a significant engagement by Pope Leo XIV, who met, separately, with British financial journalist Gareth Gore and the Tutela Minorum Commission. While the meeting with Gore signaled a potential willingness to engage with critics of Opus Dei's financial and internal power structures, the subsequent communication from the Vatican about the Pope's meeting with Tutela Minorum revealed a familiar pattern of obfuscation. Vatican News provided a clear, proactive account of these meetings in English, French, and German, emphasizing the need for bishops to prevent abuse, to inform, and to cooperate to achieve those goals. However, the Spanish and Italian editions offered a fluffed, dated message that reverted to 1990s-era rhetoric. In that approach, it is enough to listen to the victims, there is no need to prevent. Most strikingly, the Portuguese edition maintained absolute silence, effectively placing an embargo on abuse news despite the Pope being the primary newsmaker during the meeting with Tutela. This happened almost at the same time several media outlets released the Dossiers of Abuse, a collaborative investigation involving the Boston Globe, Corrective, Mediapart, El País, and Casa Macondo. Sadly, the civil media take on the source material further highlighted the linguistic divide. In Berlin, Boston, and Paris, a forensic axis emerged with Corrective, the Boston Globe and Mediapart dismissing the narrow definition of pederasty to expose the institutional machinery of organized crime and bureaucratic concealment. Meanwhile, in Madrid and Bogota, the narratives of your kept the conversation in the 1990s. By focusing on abuse of power rather than just the age of the victim, the forensic axis honored adult victims, such as those of super predators Marco Rupnik and Renato Pobletti. El País and Casa Macondo's editorial choices kept the conversation in a pastoral loop of sorts, adhering to the dated lens of pederasty. In doing so, they effectively granted secular amnesties to predators of adults and fueled the gaslighting of victims who are often targeted as troublemakers and even liars. Their choice mirrors the Vatican's segmentation, reducing a global pandemic of violence to isolated abominable lone predator scandals. And the situation is even worse in the Portuguese and Italian language, worlds where the silence of both Catholic and civil media is deafening. The week of reckoning included the fall of a human rights icon in the Spanish-speaking communities of the United States, César Estrada Chávez. New evidence showing that the labor leader used sexual control and sectarian practices to maintain authority over the United Farm Workers, UFW, represents a staggering shift in American civil rights history. Much like predatory clergy, Chávez utilized religious icons as a shield for his abuse. The willingness of the Chávez family and foundation to acknowledge these facts stands in stark contrast to the geography of silence maintained by media in Brazil, Portugal, and Italy. The week concluded with a potential new challenge to Roman authority from Belgian Bishop Johann Joseph Bonny regarding married priests, a move likely to reignite long-standing factional wars. Ultimately, this week's piece reveals that there is a language iron curtain, and that it is the byproduct of a collaborative process. While set in motion by Rome, it is sustained by a media elite in the global South that keeps the Catholic flock trapped in gaslighting narratives.